About 6 months ago, my partner and I decided to become foster parents. We felt like foster parenting should be a priority for us. We want to create community outside of our nuclear family or Clintonville suburb. Foster parenting is one way to do this. We recognize that the child welfare system has been fraught with racism, classism, and other issues. Most of those are structural. When we live in a society that does not support the most vulnerable families and children among us, it's not surprising that so many children are subject to neglect or abuse. Whether we like it or not, most of us are complicit in these systems. Our tax dollars support them, if nothing else. By choosing to take a more active part in the foster care system, we hope to make these institutions better, if only a little bit. We hope that we are and will be foster parents who advocate for the children in our care and who are supportive of their primary families. We hope to teach our children, all of them, to be compassionate towards those who struggle with addiction or with mental illness. We hope to show that the families and children involved in foster care are not bad people, and that we can create community with those whose circumstances are very different from our own. We hope. At first, our extended family didn't know why we would do this or why we would do it now. We are busy. We have two young kids already, and one has a chronic health condition. My partner stays home, but I am out of town for work once a week. We are active in church, and I am finishing up my master's degree. We have full lives. We could have waited. Sometimes we talked about becoming foster parents when our kids were teens or perhaps grown up. And yet, we had a sneaking suspicion that the longer we didn't become foster parents, well, the easier it would be not to. There is never a time when you say, well, I don't really have anything important to do for the next few decades. We knew it would be hard, but we felt like it was important, and so we decided to make becoming foster parents a priority. We have to think about our priorities. Now, if you'll bear with me for a moment. I started working on this service several weeks ago. At that time, what was to follow this more serious introduction was rather lighthearted. There were going to be stories about the times my kids pooped on me. And that is plural, times. I was going to talk about teaching Sunday school to the teens, many of whom are here today, and Willow, of course. I was going to talk about how we might expand the ways we think about community to include those of every age. I was going to hint at the structural issues that divide us. It was going to wrap up neatly with a reminder to look after the most vulnerable in our community. All in all, it was going to be optimistic, playful, fun, even. It was. But on Thursday morning, I woke up to the news that two more black men were killed by the police: Alton Sterling, Philando Castile. I feel that talking about anything else would be disrespectful. It would be unjust to speak of community without speaking of their loss. How dare I? Alton Sterling, Philando Castile. Priorities. We have to set our priorities. Philando Castile worked for the St. Paul Public Schools. He had graduated from the district in 2001. And began working shortly thereafter in their nutrition services department. 2 years ago, he was promoted to a supervisory position. Wednesday night, Mr. Castile was pulled over by police for a taillight that was allegedly broken. Some of you might recall my service last year when I spoke of a friend of mine, a black man, who had also been pulled over repeatedly for these minor infractions. Alleged infractions. My friend is now an attorney and doing well for himself. I would not say he is lucky. After all, he worked hard to get where he is. And it is hardly luck or chance that result in some of us having safe, respectful interactions with the police when others do not. Mr. Castile was not unlucky, just as my friend is not lucky. But my friend is alive. By Thursday morning, when I was listening to the news, Mr. Castile was dead. I find myself asking, what are my priorities? I find myself feeling selfish. All of our children at this time would be read as white, They are light-skinned. I feel thankful that I do not have to worry that they will be targeted by police. I'm not proud to feel this way. In my family, we have the privilege of talking about race in largely abstract terms. My oldest notices that some people have different skin tones, and we talk about how your skin color is determined by two things. First, the amount of melanin your cells produce, and second, by the amount of time that you spend in the sun. We talk about how some people think that it is better to have light-colored skin, and we talk about the fact that this is not true. On occasion, I might share a story. I might tell them that when I was young, everyone in my family said that it was better to have light eyes, and mine are brown. It was always noted that my children might have blue eyes because my father has blue eyes, and therefore I carry a recessive gene. I tell my kids how silly this is. I tell them that sometimes people we love have silly ideas. Sometimes even our families have silly ideas. We try to be good UU parents who teach our kids about race and racism. And whenever we have these conversations, it is always with the confidence that their very lives are not in jeopardy because of their race. It is a privilege to know that if my child has contact with the police, it is unlikely to be fatal. So what are my priorities? I feel bad, but I know that my guilt is not what anyone wants. In fact, I know that it's dangerous to make generalizations about any community, but I'm pretty sure that most people of color are not interested in my guilt. Even so, it is easy to be overwhelmed by my own feelings. I feel mad, I feel sad, I want to do something, but I am not sure what to do. I feel helpless. It is easy to make this all about me, my guilt, my sorrow, my pain. It is easy to want to do something to make me feel better. I should go to a rally to show my support. I should put a Black Lives Matter sign in the front of my yard to show that I am a white person who gets it. I should contradict the woman that I work with who informed me that people always have a story after the fact. It is easy to feel like the most important thing is that I do something. People are dying, literally, and somehow I seem to believe that the universe shifts to keep me at its center. I'm not proud to feel this way. So what are my priorities? If I decide that I will not think of myself as the pole around which all else moves, then what are my priorities? On Friday morning when I woke up, there was more news. 5 police officers had been killed in Texas. One of them is Brent Thompson, an officer with the Dallas Area Rapid Transit Agency. He started work there in 2009. He was recently married to a fellow officer. He was 43. Again, I feel mad, I feel sad, I feel helpless. But I also feel confident that those responsible for the deaths of any police officer will face the institutions that our country has established to confront wrongdoing. Regardless of how a person feels about the criminal or legal systems in our country, they tend to be very effective at punishing those who kill officers. This is no consolation, I'm sure, to anyone who is a friend or family member of an officer who was killed. But I think that it is an important distinction. When an officer is a victim of a crime, the system works well. People face justice, or at least some form of it. If history predicts the future, the same is unlikely to be true for Mr. Castile and Mr. Sterling, and all the others who have been killed by police. Who is a priority for our institutions? I find myself feeling hopeless. I find myself wanting to avoid the news. I find myself not wanting to know about anyone else's tragic and preventable death. I find myself... And then, as I always do, I come back to my community. I take our next door neighbors our last jar of homemade dill pickles, not because of my white guilt, but because we are neighbors, because she returned the jars from the last two, because her daughter likes them, because our kids love their dogs. We are different ages, different races, but we share our food and our company because we are a part of each other's community. I wave to my neighbor across the street. He is a police officer and often works nights. I see him coming home as I am leaving mine. He is relentlessly nice. When their house was toilet papered by some friends of their eldest daughter, we cleaned it up because it was supposed to rain, because they were gone for the weekend, because we are a part of each other's community. My priorities are not about me. They are not the things that make me feel like a hero. In fact, they are the things that most of us do naturally for our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones. We take care of each other. We look after each other's children. We treat each other with compassion, even when we falter. We fight for each other's equal treatment and protection. We hope that what we do makes a difference. We hope that what we do makes a difference to change the institutions that mediate our lives. We do what we can. We hope.